really appreciate everybody who's called in tonight at 404-726-0929. Talk about giving thanks. Man, phone lines have been rolling and red hot tonight on the night before Thanksgiving, so I couldn't be more appreciative. Listen, I love y'all. I love y'all. Y'all know that. We may disagree sometimes, and, you know, I may challenge you to be better as a caller, but you know it's all love. This is our show. We do this together. That's why when a little behind the scenes, and then I'll get to Myles Garrett here in just a second, Fox 5, make sure you check him out there, one of our favorites. When I first got the show, they asked me, you know, how do you want the show open to sound? And one of the things I made sure that I was talking to Steve, our imaging guy, about was I want to make sure that in the open, it's clear that it's our show. It's our show together. Because at night, it's me and you. I got Oren with me every night. But there's, you know, the morning shift has three people. Steakhouse has a rotating cast. Andy and Randy, Dukes and Bell. But at night, it's me and it's you on the phone. So I'm just very grateful for that. All right, Myles Garrett here, Fox 5 Sports. Make sure you check him out there. Staying busy through the holidays, as always. Myles, let's start with a little vibe check. Finally got the win at Flowery Branch this week. Must be a sight for sore eyes after five straight losses. How do you encapsulate the mood and the vibe right now at Flowery going into another winnable game versus the Jets?
Well, I'll say this, Chris, about the Falcons locker room and the Falcons vibe that at least we see when we're in there. It's relatively stayed the same throughout this entire season, even throughout this losing streak that they just got out of. So, I mean, it's always a good sign that, you know, amidst all the chaos that's going on, and as, you know, I'm very sure and very well aware the fans are unhappy with how this season has gone. But at the same time, it's good to see the guys stay consistently, you know, in a good mood, thinking that they're going to win the next game. And that stayed relatively constant throughout the season and has really been no different this week.
When it comes to Kirk Cousins in the offense, obviously, as you know, the scuttlebutt, the chatter has been about this under center versus pistol debate. Let's just talk about from a pure optics perspective. Watching the game last weekend, what did you see from Kirk in the offense that allowed them to look more smooth and more like a complete offensive unit than they have in the last few weeks?
Yeah, I mean, it's the elephant in the room, right? The under center stuff as opposed to the pistol stuff. And I mean, going back to last season, we did see Kirk Cousins operate a lot out of that pistol set. And, especially at the beginning of the season, didn't necessarily work that great. But I think this is really where the Zach Robinson offense really thrives. I think we've been waiting to see that happen once again, just to see those play actions, really the type of offense that has been working so well out in L.A. Kind of imagine that you thought that that's what you were going to get with Zach Robinson coming from Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford there. And we saw that finally on Sunday with Kirk Cousins and, you know, setting up the Bijan Robinson runs. Obviously, he didn't have his best game there, but I really liked how Kirk looked really in the pocket. I know early on, especially in that first quarter, there was a lot left to be desired. That might have been the worst first quarter of offensive football I think I've really ever seen, but they really cleaned things up there in the second quarter going into the second half. And I really liked how Darnell Mooney was able to get open, but with kind of bouncing off of that, it really kind of showed me that maybe these play action plays and going under center is giving more times for these routes to develop. If you look at some of these all 22 footage from earlier games this season, especially from Kyle Pitts, I remember the Carolina game in Charlotte really stuck out to me as far as receivers and Kyle Pitts himself kind of getting open downfield, and Michael Penix Jr. just didn't see it. And again, it was still early in his career and still is early in his career, but from a starting standpoint, maybe he just wasn't seeing those guys. So to me, from a progression standpoint, from staying in the pocket and kind of maneuvering around off of those play actions and just rolling back, I think that's where this offense is built for success. And I think we saw it there. Obviously, the comment post-game from Raheem Morris saying that Mike wasn't as comfortable in that set as opposed to Kirk Cousins being more comfortable. And that's definitely going to be something to monitor going into next season to see, you know, if he develops that comfortability, for lack of a better term, in this offense. Because to me, again, it's only one game. It's the New Orleans Saints. I get that. It's not a very good team. But to me, it just seems like that's where this offense is built for success.
Looks like we're going to be without Drake London again, barring something unforeseen. Raheem Morris making that pretty clear today, doubtful, and didn't really seem too optimistic about his status. So, listen, Myles, if Kirk Cousins can do what he did last week and get the ball to seven different receivers, the offense you would think would continue to be still in pretty decent shape against a very limited Jets defense after trading off Quinnen Williams and Sauce Gardner.
Yeah, no doubt. And of course, the Falcons added KJ Osborne, one of Kirk Cousins' targets back in Minnesota. So you have to imagine that either, again, in practice or maybe in a game-time elevation, we haven't seen Casey Washington play, getting some more variety in there to help Kirk Cousins get more comfortable. But, yeah, I mean, David Sills was a guy who was a favorite of Kirk Cousins in training camp. We saw it back then, back in late July and into early to mid-August, really, as far as the second teamers and how they were looking. This team really likes David Sills. It was good to see him get a touchdown catch there finally in the game. So I expect to see more of that. I really want to see, and again, I feel like it sounds like a broken record at this point, but I would love to see Kyle Pitts get more involved in this passing attack because, you know, you take out Drake London and, you know, if you don't have the rushing element, obviously Bijan Robinson offers that aspect in his game as far as catching balls and getting stuff out of the backfield. But this is what you drafted Kyle Pitts for. You drafted him to be that pass catcher at number four overall. You saw what he did his rookie season. He's dealt with injuries, but I want to see him get more involved again now that he has to step up and potentially be one of those primary type receivers. It was good to see Charlie Warner get three straight catches on one of those drives. It's always good to see get the tight ends involved, but just given the talent, Chris, of what Kyle has, you just want to see that more involved in this offense.
Talking all things Falcons and Jets with Miles Garrett. Make sure you check him out at Fox 5 for all your Falcons and Atlanta sports coverage. It seems crazy to say, but one player on a defense really turns things around. Seeing Divine Diablo back last week, the defense, it was like, oh, yeah, that's right. We're one of the best units in the league. Forgot about that.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I mean, I think it became very evident in that game, but especially during this losing streak. I mean, they lose him in that 49ers game, the first game to really start that losing streak, of course, and you know, you saw the maybe inefficiencies with J.D. Bertrand in there. But, you know, and it's funny, you know, you go back to a couple seasons ago when they drafted Troy Anderson. I think this team imagined him to sort of fill in that Divine Diablo role of being that big linebacker with a lot of speed, a lot of agility that can basically go all over the field and cover whoever, you know, be that spy to get any guys coming out of the backfield or guys coming across the middle. And really, that's what Divine Diablo has been for this defense. And you really saw it when he wasn't on the field, and you saw it when he's been back on the field. And this New Orleans Saints game almost has that interception, of course, kind of difficult to catch it when you got a big club on your hand. But certainly good to see him back, and I'm excited to see him really get more involved in this defense that has been performing really well, especially with those sack numbers. Obviously, Divine Diablo not, you know, really big in the pass rush game, in my opinion, but can certainly set up other guys to get in the backfield a little bit more and see the progression of Jalen Walker and James Pierce Jr.
Are you bummed at all that Georgia Tech wasn't able to live up to their end of the bargain and make this game this weekend as important as it could have been? Still going to be a great matchup, but there could have been the ultimate stakes on the line.
Yeah, for sure. And I think if you just go back, I mean, I think it's not just the Pittsburgh game. You go back to that loss against NC State, a game in which Georgia Tech was heavily favored in. You know, there was a strong possibility that Georgia Tech could have come into this game undefeated and, of course, could have come in with one loss as well. Still a chance for Georgia Tech to make the ACC championship. I know a lot of stuff has to fall their way for that to happen, but you're right. I mean, it would have been so much more of an exciting matchup with a one loss, potentially undefeated Georgia Tech coming into this game. We wouldn't have seen a matchup like this. And based on my calculations, the history of this rivalry, you would have had two top 10 teams potentially battling it out in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. But look, I mean, we saw what happened last year. We saw even the year before that, Georgia Tech under Brent Key has kept this a game against the Georgia Bulldogs. And I expect that to happen again, barring something unforeseen, but Georgia Tech's really got to fix some things on defense. They had a pretty good second half against Pittsburgh, but 28 points in that first and second quarter was something that can't happen against Georgia.
I think Gunnar Stockton, who's accounted for 27 touchdowns, 2,500 yards through the air with another, what do we got here, 360 on the ground. I think he's being talked about a little bit, but I didn't think his impact would be this great, honestly. I think he's been better than expected. What do you make of his season as the regular season looks to wrap up? I think he's been overwhelmingly phenomenal.
Oh, he has. And I said this to a coworker earlier. To me, it seems like the turning point for this Georgia offense with Mike Bobo and Gunnar Stockton really happened in that Texas game. You saw the motions they were running, the different looks. You know, it wasn't just operating out of the shotgun and having those sort of zone read runs that it seems like Georgia has been operating off of. You saw Gunnar go under center. You saw him go back under shotgun, you know, getting guys in motion, Zach Branch, getting the tight ends involved, Oscar Delp and Lawson Lucky finally getting involved in this offense. I know that their opponents haven't necessarily been as good down the stretch, But at the same time, you know, they're peaking at the right time, this offense. And I really love what Gunnar Stockton's been doing. He's not making a lot of mistakes. That's really his game. You know, he's sort of been labeled as that game manager, but he sort of changed that notion the last few weeks, becoming that playmaker, you know, using his legs when things aren't going downfield. I felt like earlier in the season when maybe the first or second read wasn't there, he would use his legs and kind of use that as a crutch. Whereas now I feel like when I watch him, it looks like he's going through his progressions a lot more and running when he needs to, because he does have that element that he can add to this offense. He does have, you know, the ability to take it upfield when needed. So I think he's been phenomenal, not to take the words out of your mouth, but I think he has really been that, and I think very much deserving of Heisman consideration right now.
Miles, great stuff as always. Enjoy your Thanksgiving and the holiday weekend. We'll chat soon.
Absolutely. Happy Thanksgiving, Chris.
All right. That is our good buddy there, Miles Garrett. Make sure you check him out at Fox 5. If you're on hold, stay there. You're first up when we get back. 404-726-0929. You just got another opinion there for Miles Garrett. You heard Raheem Morris earlier and a ton of phone calls. We'll also let you hear from Jesse Bates as he joined Dukes and Bell earlier this afternoon. Jam-packed final hour, the night before Thanksgiving. Having a blast here with you on 92.9 The Game.